Do is to give context to the discussion that we're about to have. The lack of context is what doesn't most people that try to understand this sugya. They come from a certain mindset, and the whole sugya doesn't fit into that mindset. So we need first to get ourselves oriented, and then we can start to explore where the sugi is coming from. Now, the basic issue is the following, and it's very interesting how it plays out, because there's a machlekes in the Gemara, and it's a very sharp divide in the halacha that the Rambam and the Rif Paskin like one shita, which is really the most machmedic shita, and the Balei HaTosfos and the Ashkenazim paskin like the other shita. So we have two stories. You read the Shulchan Aruch, you read, I think, through the first couple of Sifim, and that's all the Mechaber story. Then you start, all of a sudden, there are more hates on Tzifar. You know, the Maram, there are more starts in with a whole different story. So we have a divide going all the way back to the Gemara. But less man de polik in this Machlaikis, that essentially, if I go from place to place, except for one shita, it's a tremendous chiddush, but I have to make a new bracha. Everybody agrees to that, and there's one exception to that, and which is its own chiddush of how that works, and we'll come back to that. But the bottom line question is, why is it, according to everybody in the world, I picked up a glass of seltzer, I drank it, 10 minutes later, I walk out into the street, I have to make a new bracha. Less man the public. Side of Mechaba, side of Ramon. Everyone agrees to that. Right? The Chiddush is in the Balei Sheet of the Balei HaTosfos. Like one Amira, there's an exception that's built on an outside factor which changes that. But why is that true? Now, the whole world, the problem is that the general approach that we take, we know in Hilchos Brochos, Hesach Hadas, is meaning that I decided not to eat is the major factor. Normally speaking, let's say I'm sitting at my desk, I'm drinking this glass of seltzer. I drank a half a glass of seltzer, that's, I don't have any tamen anymore. If I was home and I wasn't lazy, I would probably go and spill it down the sink. I wouldn't even bother with it, you know. So here, I put it on the side of my desk and I go back to work. It's not, I'm intending to come back to this. I'm Hesach Hadas, come on, I'm finished with it. That's it. I ate a piece of cake, a piece of Danish, and that's it. There's a half a Danish left. I'll wrap it up. It'll be for tomorrow. Hesach Hadas. So Hesach Hadas obligates one to make a new bracha rishayna. That's fine. So then we understand that's a very, the logic of that is very much within grasp and very elegant. The pshat is that I'm eating an apple, so I made a bracha on this apple. When I decide to stop eating the apple, so I ended that achila. So that's it. So the bracha went as long as this eating went, or drinking. And I ended that eating and drinking. So, type. So that I understand. So that's Hesach Hadas. So where the whole world gets tangled up here is the fact that there's no Hesach Hadas here. I mean, I took this glass of seltzer, I was drinking inside the building. Then I saw Menachem outside, and I wanted to ask Menachem something. So I ran out into the street to ask Menachem something. And I stood to schmoozing with him for the next half an hour outside. And I want to drink my seltzer. Ooh, I have to make a less man the public. I have to make a new bracha. There was no Hesach Hadas. I was holding the seltzer in my hand. I ran out of the building, and I full well continued to just keep on drinking right outside. So this is where the whole world goes off the rails. And the truth of the matter is probably some of the lashonis that you find both in the Gemara and the Poskim also help them to go off the rails. One thing we need to know in general, Hesach Hadas, when we see Hesach Hadas, it's not one size fits all. You know, in a certain regard, it means that A is differentiated from B. A is not B and B is not A. You know, I simply, if I eat, finished eating this apple, good. So if I want to eat the rest of the apple 2 hours later, and I really intended initially to put it away for tomorrow, so this is obvious, this is a new achil, it's not part of eight. Then we have Hesach Hadas, which stems not from issues of das. Meaning, but functionally speaking, it's as if there was a Hesach Hadas. The two separate things, they're separated from each other. We have, for example, Tosis writes that one of the big issues with the Leil HaSeder is how many times we make Berurah Priyah Gofen. So our practice is very simple. We make on all four cases, but this didn't even get the approval of, forget the Sephardi Rishonim, of even all the Ashkenazi Rishonim, the Rosh Paskin, they make a Berurah on coast one and coast three, and that's it, end of story. Right, the only reason you're making a bracha again on coast three is because you had birchas amazon, that's it. That chops everything apart. That's end, so pusuk. So anything that comes after birchas amazon, you have to start again. So that's the rush, is very simple. So why do we make four brachas? So we have two types of approaches. We have one approach is that each one is a mitzvah. So the truth is it's oriented to signify that it's its own mitzvah and gets its own bracha. It's not just a drinking binge of four cases, but each one deserves a bracha to underscore that this is a mitzvah. Toif. That's one approach. The second approach is an approach that is Hesach Hadas. Now, what's the Hesach Hadas? I think every person sitting here tonight together with me, when you made the bracha on Kiddush, you full well intended to drink Kais Sheni. So where's the Hesach Hadas? And when you drank Kol Shlishi, you weren't intending to go to sleep 5 minutes later. You were intending at least to get to Kais Ravi before you did that. So where's the Hesach Hadas? So what comes out is that the Hesach Hadas that we're talking about is a halachic Hesach Hadas. The halacha imposes a space in between the two drinkings. A seder is called a seder because there's an order in which you have to do it. I can't take four cases of wine and drink them one after the other. I'll make Kiddush and drink three more kaisers and say, I was yoitze arba kaisers. Segeitnish. You're not yoitze. Shosem uvasachas. It doesn't work. You have to have one, each one in an appropriate time. There's a time and place for each kaiser. You want to just get down four kaisers in one shot. It's not going to help you. You're not yoitze. So mamela, after kaiser rishon, especially in our practice, we don't drink anymore. And I certainly, even if we could drink, there's a whole hypothetical question. Could we drink if we want or not? But lamaisa, we don't drink, usually. Why? Because you're not supposed to really drink at that point in time. You're supposed to wait and do Haggadah in the middle. And then when you get up to the bracha asher ga'alonu, then we finish, you know, the bracha which was used for the kais, which was used for the saying of the Haggadah in the halal, then we drink that kais. The third kais is for birchas hamazon. The fourth cup is Goyman all over Sahala. So, because Samamela, there is a halachic problem with drinking in the middle. So, that's the reason we construe that as a Hesach Hadas. Okay, it's a complicated subject. Because Tosis paskins that if I were to go daven mincha in the middle of a meal, I don't have to make a new bracha rishayna. So, why not? In the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, I can't drink either. So, it's not so simple, okay? But that's where Tosis is coming from, whatever. It's a long shmooze. That there's an idea, so that's also called Hesach Hadas, Tosis says. But it's not a Hesach Hadas in the sense of, well, I decided not to drink anymore. And oh, all of a sudden, the Kais Sheni, why? They gave another Kais. Well, this is interesting, you know? It's not what happened at the Seder. I knew from the beginning to anticipate Kais Sheni. So, the Shaila is, why in fact, if I have a glass of seltzer and I go outside, do I have to make a new bracha? That's I believe, the issue. That's the real issue of this sugya. And Hesach Hadas, in a classical sense, does not resolve that problem. So I think that the resolution of this problem is that an achila is defined by its place. In other words, that which I eat or drink in this place is this achila. When I go to someplace else, that's not this achila anymore. there's no continuity, let's put it that way. One of the issues in halacha, I've talked about this other times too, is what constitutes continuity. If you have a machitza and it has X amount of space up until 10 amos, and then you have another space, so you can have, as long as you're over the way, it's oimid merubah laporetz. So then even if I have a number of openings up to 10 amos, it's fine. So what's the consideration? So the chayr, the consideration is, at what point do I consider each part of the mechitza part of the larger mechitza? And what part do I say, no, they're just random points with no connection to each other. So in terms of a Pesach, we say you have 10 amos. In terms of Lovud, we say you have 3 tvachim. That creates the connectivity between one point and the next, which ultimately makes the whole thing come together as an entity, as a yesh. So we're trying to connect various points. When I eat, I also have to connect all the various points. Now, there's nothing to connect. That which I'm sitting and eating in this place is this achila. When I go outside, there's nothing that connects the eating outside to the eating that's inside, other than the fact that, you know, I eat the first half of the apple inside, and now I'm eating the second half of that apple. But there's nothing to connect it. There's no continuity in it. That, I think, is the notion that we are out to create in this sugya. One is the continuity, one is the no continuity. And from that, if we look at it from that standpoint, so we can understand, really, there are two factors. There are two factors at play in the sugya. As I said, there's a shayla of Rabbi Paskin. But there are two factors that could allow a person to keep on eating without making a new bracha. Right? So those factors are either he went out to the door, he went outside, but he left people behind at the table. So he was kavua together with these people, and he went outside, and now he came back to them. So he could say that the kfiyas, the fact of these people gathered together, is our halachic significance. And consequently, even though he went out, now he came back, that kfiyas, that continues. That context continues. And therefore, as long as he's in Yech Miktas Chaveira, now he came back, so the context is continuing, even though he went outside for a moment. That's one point that we could make. And then we have another halacha, which is also from the Gemara of Sheishas of Chizda, the issue if you need Brocha Achrayna B'mkayma. Now, Brocha Achrayna B'mkayma, that means there are certain things that you eat, a glass of seltzer, there's nothing good. The Rama is in favor of making a Brocha Achrayna as soon as I finish drinking before I go somewhere else. It's a smart idea. But Mitzar Adin, let's say I didn't make this Brocha now, and I went 3 blocks down, I have no obligation to come back here to make this bracha. I can make the bracha achrayna any place. Certain things you have to make the bracha achrayna where you ate or drank. What the parameters of those things are basically these 3 shittas. There are 3 shittas in the Shulchan Aruch. Whether it refers only to pas, that's what it means. Whether it refers to mezainis, or whether it refers to anything which is Shiva Saminim. So that's debated on what they mean. Our practice is like the Vilna Goyim, that it means all things that are all things that are Mezainis, and not all Shiva Saminim, are included in that, and not only bread. So that's the approach that we have. So that again, the Daiti is the Pshat, that the meal doesn't end so readily. Meaning, I was eating a piece of bread here. If I go somewhere else, so the fact that I ate here still creates halachas. I have to come back to this place, the bench. So that's a yesh, that's an existence, that's a reality. It's not just a place, but that metzias creates halachas. Now, because of that, this achila doesn't end so readily. Means even if I went down the block, so this achila is still going on. It didn't end. It's ongoing. So that's the notion that I could wind up somewhere else if you're an Ashkenazi, and I'll go eat another piece of challah. I'll wash it home, and I'll make a mitzvah, I'll eat a kizayis, and I'll come to shul, and I'll finish all the shuddis and shul. Because since it has the requirement of brocha achrona b'mkoyma, so it's not considered that the achila ended. Now there's one more case, just to give a first, as I said, a context to what we're trying to do. There's one more case, and that in itself is subject to different interpretations. Later on in the siman, he quotes a Rambam about Hochei Drocha, and that they don't have to make a new Brocha. So what are we talking about? Who would his Hochei Drocha? Where would his Hochei Drocha? Do we mean a guy that was eating outside in the street, that he marched along in the street? Yeah, he started here in Main Street, and he wound up in Hillcrest, you know? But he can no longer even see the place where he started eating, but he was a Hochei Drocha. So maybe he's the guy that we're talking about that doesn't have to make another Brocha. That's one way to learn, I guess. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal did not learn that way. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal learned that Pshat and Hochei Drocha is that if when I started eating, I intended that I'm going elsewhere, because I'm on the way to the bus. So now I'll make a broch on the apple, and I'll run down the block to the bus, and I'm intending to eat on the bus. I'm a holich drochem. I'm not, a person that's at home that stepped out for a minute. This whole eating was oriented to be carried out on the go. So he wants to learn in that case, apparently, that there's no kfiyas mokum for it. It doesn't get a kfiyas mokum here. It's just floating along. It's in flux. It never gets a kfiyas mokum. So I'm down the block. I'm in the next block. I'm 3 blocks away. And it doesn't make a difference. It's not fixed to a place. That's the way I presume that he learns. But this, as I said, this halacha is a controversial one. Not everyone learns this. It's a little bit, when you learn the sif, Ramosh is a very pleasant way to learn. Because when you learn the sif, you're trying to figure out what this Shulchan Aruch is telling you here, which he didn't tell you before. It looks like if it's merely a case that you were outside of the street and you kept marching along in the street, then the Shulchan Aruch already told this to me before. I don't need to come to this halacha at the end of the siman. So that's what Ramosh took it to mean, that it's a new chiddush. It has nothing to do with any of the chiddushim that we have, of the dinim that we had before. So these are the three exceptions that we could conceivably have, which is, again, Hiniach Miktzas Chaveirov, Hochei Drocha, according to Rav Moshe, and finally, those things which need Brocha Achrona B'Mkoyma, according to the Shita of the Ashkenazim. So that's the basic layout of the Sugya. Now, just to fill in a little bit more, so the things that need to be defined is, without even getting into first the dynamics of how this halacha works, but what is shinui makom? What is shinui makom? Now this itself is a matter of a great deal of controversy. According, if you learn the Shulchan Aruch straightforwardly, that is clearly the pshat in the Shulchan Aruch, if I were to drink this cup of water in this room, and I go to the next room, even in this building, according to the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch, I have to make another bracha. Shina Mokum. So the Chofetz Chaim was an Oyev Yisrael. And the Chofetz Chaim gave one look at the world, and he saw that's not the way the world works. People typically go, they start drinking here, and they march all around the house and keep on drinking, and nobody makes a new bracha. So the Chofetz Chaim, Kedarko Vakaydish, based on certain Rishonim in the Sugya, was Mechadish, a whole new pshat in the Sugya. And according to that, you can march around. You can march around within one building and not make another bracha. I mean, assuming that it's all your building. At least let's assume that for the moment. So that you can do. You can march around all over this building. Now, if you had in mind at the beginning, when I started to drink, then I'm going to go from room to room. That's the choladeus. That's fine. I don't have to make a new bracha rishayna. But if I didn't have in mind and I start floating around, it's such an unusual halacha lemaisa. I went to the house once of an adam choshev, should live and be well. And he was very nizer at this. He didn't go from room to room with achila. He started to eat someplace, he would finish there before he moved to the next room. He was very, very, you know, conscientious about it. But he's about probably the only person that I met in my life that was so medactic in this dinner. So that's the first question. Things we need to ask ourselves, what is shinu mokum? What is shinu mokum in other cases? We talk about shinu mokum. Is shinu mokum, let's say I make an eitz outside on the street, I get into my car, I drive down the block, do I have to make an umbrocha? Or I make an eitz in the car and I get out of the car, do I have to make another umbrocha? Is that shinu mokum? Is that shinu mokum? Now, let's say either I hadn't das at the beginning, I hadn't mind at the very beginning that I'm going to go from room to room, or even if I didn't have in mind, but I followed the sheet of the Chofetz Chaim that you don't have to make a brocha when you go from room to room, at least with the Evet. So what are the parameters of that? Is it enough that I go around this building, any place in this building? What happens if I go out into the yard of this building? Does that change anything? So that we're also going to see. That's b'machleik shnuyah. There's different views about that. So it's first a question to determine the aspects of the din of shinui mokum, how to overcome shinui mokum. And then there's the issue of what is shinui mokum? What is it? So not so easy to define. And ad kidei kach, ad kidei kach, let's say you're walking out of the house and you have a sucking candy in your mouth. Do you have to make a new bracha? You know, in one regard, it's one achila, right? You didn't, it's still in your mouth. So this is also a machleik shnu, and I think the ikur it has to do with how one learns pshat in that Rambam. Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita says that he was once walking with the Chazon Ish, his uncle, and when they went outside, he had a candy in his mouth. The Chazon Ish told him he has to make a new bracha. Yet Reb Moshe Zatzal in his tshuvah did not think so. I presume based on his din of Hol Chedrochem that if you put it in your mouth, and you tended to go outside. So that's Nichlal and the Rambam's din of Hol Chedrochem. They don't need to make a new bracha. So there are a lot of aspects which are up in the air. There's also the next question that we need to explore. And that is, I started eating in my house, Shabbos, Shalva Shalas. I decided, when do I have to decide that I'm going from place to place? Can I just go? Or do I have to make a conscious decision that I'm going to go? So the Ramah says that one should not go unless one had predetermined at the time that he was washing for the meal that he was intent upon going to some other place before he benched. Otherwise, he shouldn't be doing such type of things. So, when I go from place to place, so I had in mind, so according to the Rambam, I have to have in mind when I start the meal, otherwise it's not the chachila. Cost me a good Friday night dinner once. I was in Yeshiva in Israel almost 50 years ago, and one of my married chaverim came in. I had already washed, and he lived just next door to the Yeshiva, and he wanted me to come up to have Suda Shabbos with him. But then he saw that I washed already, so it wasn't the chatchila. So he said, okay, we'll have to do it another time. So it cost me a good Friday night dinner, this Rabbah. Now you come to the new place, Now, how much do I have to eat in the first place, number one? So if the requirement, let's deal with the most common requirement, you need brocha achrayna b'mkayma in its place. So that means I have to eat enough that I have had it. I would have to make a brocha achrayna. If I didn't eat enough to make a brocha achrayna, then there's certainly no need to make a brocha achrayna in its place. I can leave and not come back. So I have to eat at least the kezayis in place number one, so that I should be obligated, to make a brocha achrayna. Okay. Now I come to place number two. I came to shul. I don't want to finish the meal in shul, and I want a bench. How much do I have to eat in shul? So there's the intuitive answer and the right answer. The intuitive answer, we would imagine, you have to eat a kezayis. Benching, so how are you benching if you didn't eat a kezayis? That's the intuitive answer, but it's not the right answer. The Rambam says that since I ate a kezayis elsewhere, and I didn't bench for that kezayis, so what's the only problem? The only problem is that you have to make birchas hamazon when you ate. So the Rambam says, so eat the tiniest bit in the second place. That's enough. You know, even a part of a kezayis. So that way I ate lechem in this place. So when I'm reciting the birchas hamazon, it's in a place where I ate bread, so I can recite the birchas hamazon. So there's no necessity of having a second kezayis. The first kezayis itself suffices.
Why does he eat anything?
Because otherwise you can't bench. I didn't eat over here. You can only these brocha achrayna b'mkayma. So you have to bench where you ate. If you didn't eat here, so you're fried. So, as I said, there were a lot of blanks in this sugya, that a lot of blanks that need to be filled in. Let's first address, what is Shinui Makom? What is it? How do you define it? I have a cousin in Eretz Yisrael, so Boyer Haro. He's learned his entire life. He's a Talmud of the Stipler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So he won't say it's the Stipler, the Shaila. So the Stipler told him that he would define one Rishus as defined by Chayshin Mishpat. So as long as in Chayshin Mishpat it's still the same Rishus, so he's happy to call it one Rishus. So the impression I had from this psak of the stipend itself, that even if I went to the yard also, as long as I'm chayshin mishpat, it's all my rishus. So it's fine. That's what seemed from the stipend psak. Rabbi Yoshev was not in agreement with that. Rabbi Yoshev held that it only was relevant as long as you were under one roof. Then you can call it rishus achas. Once you went out, even into the yard, that was already from his standpoint the rishus achas. They seem to be b'machlekes at this point. So this is a very important point. You take a glass of seltzer, and I went outside now, and I went out to the front yard of the shul. It's not under the roof, but it's clearly it's private property. It's owned by the shul. It's not owned by anyone else. So the chayr, according to this type, I don't have to make a new bracha. That's what it seems. So that's, as I said, this is a very important point in definition. Now we also have to sort out another thing. And that is, not all brachas are created equal. You have to know what makes each system tick. So there's a system of brocha rishayna and there's a system of brocha achrayna. They're two different systems. So brocha rishayna is a question of hesach hadas. It's some type of hesach hadas, whatever that might be. Brocha Achrona has a whole different consideration. Hesach Hadas plays no role in Brocha Achrona, which logically it shouldn't play a role in Brocha Achrona. At the end of the day, I ate an apple here and I ate an apple there, and I didn't make thank the Rabbeinu Shem. So I have to thank the Rabbeinu Shem for both of them. Partly that there was a Hesach Hadas in between. What does that change? It doesn't change anything. So the issue then is, so, yeah. But we can only make a Brocha Achrona as long as we're still appreciating the effects of Achila number one. If I reach the point where the effects of Achila number one wear off, then I can't make a Brocha Achrona anymore. Meaning to say, a Brocha Achrona is a very distinct type of Shevach Hoidor related to the Rabbeinu Shelo. Means right now I'm really appreciating that which you gave me. I was thirsty as could be. I didn't have time to drink most of today. So now I came, I sit down, I have a glass of seltzer. I feel refreshed. So as long as I still feel refreshed, I can make a Brocha Achrona. I ate a meal, so I won't be hungry for a while. So that's a good thing. So as long as I'm not hungry, I can make a Brocha Achrona. So they march on two different, they spin on two different axes. There's the axis of Brocha Rishayna, which has to do with Hesach Hadas, and the axis of Brocha Achrona, which has to do with, am I still benefiting from that which I did? If I'm still, so I have to give thanks for it. So I could arrive at a situation with both ways. I could arrive at a situation when I have to make a new Brocha Rishayna, one Brocha Achrona. I had Hesach Hadas. I decided, you know, I was in the car today. I didn't have a chance to eat since the morning. So I threw a bottle of water and a Danish into the car. So at some point I should, you know, have something to eat. So fortunately, I got to where I had to go and I finished davening mincha. And I still had about 10-15 minutes to get to where I had to go, and I even found a parking space. So I sat still for a few minutes, ate a half a Danish. So that, now, let's say I had Hesach Hadas, and then I'm sitting in the car, and 10 minutes later I changed my mind. You know, I want to eat the second half of the Danish. I hadn't made it a Brocha Achrona for the first half yet. So fine, so I make a new Brocha Rishayna, and one Brocha Achrona on both. No problem. So I can have a case that I have two Brochas Rishaynas, and one Brocha Achrona. I can have the opposite. I can have a case that I have one Brocha Rishayna and in effect two separate obligations for Brocha Achrona, which is I ate. Now all of a sudden, listen, I can certainly relate to it. I presume there's some other people here that can relate to this too. I ate, I took a couple of bites, the telephone rang, and the next thing I know it's 2 hours later. Where the time goes, all of a sudden it's 2 hours later. Before it was 1 o'clock, now it's 3 o'clock. I managed, you know, a bite and a half of my sandwich, and that's it. So the effect of that sandwich in 2 hours are gone. So I can't make a Brocha Achrona on what I ate 2 hours ago. Brocha Rishna, I want to eat the rest of the sandwich, but I didn't have Hesach Hadas. I never decided that I'm not continuing eating. I just got caught up in my work and I wasn't thinking about eating. I didn't think of yes to eat or not to eat. I put down a sandwich on my table and that's it. And I was busy, busy, busy. All of a sudden it's 3 o'clock and I is my sandwich. So in terms of Brocha Rishayna, I don't need a new Brocha Rishayna because there was no Hesach Hadas. In terms of Brocha Achrona, I need a new Kezias now. Because the old Kezias, that faded away when the after effects of that achil in 2 hours, the bite that I took then was gone, so it had no lasting effects at that point, so I can't make a Brocha Achrona on it. But so I have to make a new Brocha Achrona on the new chiyuv, the last one I lost. It's down the tubes. So we can have, it's an either type of situation, a situation where which would demand a new Brocha Rishayna because of Hesach Hadas and one Brocha Achrona, and a situation which doesn't need a new Brocha Rishayna and yet demands a separate and distinct Brocha Achrona. second. What did I want to tell you? Yeah. There is an interesting literature in the Achronim of how long one could wait between eating and making a bracha achrona. And that really divides itself into two separate discussions. There's a question on achila mu'etes, on a small achila, and on a major meal. Two separate diunim. Now, the Chofetz Chaim learns the pshat and the sugya. It's a machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, that the day that he wants to paskin like, that you never have less than 72 minutes to make a bracha achrona. Meaning, I drank one revius of water. I got busy. And 65 minutes later, I remembered I didn't make a bracha achrona yet. According to the Chofetz Chaim, I can still make a bracha achrona. That's the way he learns in the sugya. Others learn in the sugya that one man niyamah holds you for about a half an hour's time. And if you go past that, you can't make a bracha achrona. There's a Shiloh who had to learn pshat in the Gemara. So that's on the small eating side. On the large eating side, there's a whole different deal. Meaning, on the small eating side, at what point am I sure that even if I ate a little bit of the smallest cheer, that it's still having an effect upon me? That's subject number one. The subject number two is something else. That's when I have a large achila, how do I gauge its effect? So Shulchan Aruch says you have to start to feel hungry again. So there are achronim that say that just as we find in the halachos of bosa v'cholov, right? That the way we paskin, right? The one sheet there was, you have to wait an hour in between the fleishiks and the milachiks. And then there's a second view in the Ramah that you have to wait 6 hours. And that, at least in contemporary times or for generations, has become the accepted practice among Ashkenazic Jews. Generally speaking, and except if you come from Germany or Holland, but you have your own Torahs over there. So some want to suggest that just as we wait 6 hours between the Melechiks and the Fleishiks, and what's the reason for that? So right, so there we have our famous Machlokes, the Rambam and the Tor, two reasons. Does it have to do with the pieces of meat that are stuck in between my teeth? And after the deterioration by the enzymes in the mouth, after 6 hours, we no longer consider it meat? Is that the pshat, or is the pshat something else? It's while the body is engaged in digesting it, means right now the system has been overtaken by flation. So if it's not digested, we don't pour milachiks into that mix. So some want to say the same is true here. That if you eat a heavy meal, you have up to 6 hours to bench afterwards, if you hadn't benched. Same way, you have to wait 6 hours after the flesh gave meal for milachiks, since it's not fully, you know, digested yet. So if you ate a heavy meal, one could wait for many hours. So this is, as I said, so there we have, this is the halachos for the small meals, the halachos for the big meals.
Why would the svar of 6 hours not apply to a small meal also? The 6 hours between meat and milk, it doesn't matter how much meat you have.
I presume that they learned that that's a loy plugdin. The fact that we always keep 6 hours. In other words, they know Hanami. According to the sheet that we're dealing with the digestion, we should really be a sliding scale. LMI sliding scales are hard to deal with. Why? Because what's the objective measure? You know, and then we know ourselves, every person, that it varies. Sometimes the digestive system is rearing to go, and other times it's in the doldrums. You know why? We don't know exactly why. You know, maybe the doctor knows. I don't know. But sometimes, you know, things get digested quickly, and sometimes you sit for hours. Sometimes you feel like you have lead in your stomach. It's nothing's going any place. So maybe that's the reason that we always made, you know, in that amount of man, we're sure that everything is gone. So there are achronim that connect these two halachas. And for them, after a heavy meal, you can wait even up to 6 hours to be able to recite the Birchos Habozen. But let me not give you the wrong impression. I don't mean that you should wait 6 hours. I once went to visit Rodem Choshev, and he was very kind. I came to discuss a very complicated issue with him, and it was clear that we were going to spend a long time together trying to sort this issue out. This was not going away in 5 minutes, this issue. It was a very complicated issue, and he was a very wise man, and I was friendly with him. So I went to his house, middle of the day, came there, whatever, we sat there. So as I walked into his house, he was just finishing eating lunch. So all of a sudden, he ran to wash my machronim and sat down to bench. So I asked him afterwards, listen, I don't mind, but what was the big rush to bench? You know, we're not going anywhere, so what was the big rush to bench? So he looked at me almost like, what type of question are you asking? I finished eating, I'm a chuyiv in Birchas Hamazon, so this is the reason why Dima no mitzvahs. That's it. You have a mitzvah to do, you do it. That's it. Well, what should I wait for? You know, it's a mindset that, you know, we don't even grasp at times. You know, that mindset.
Well, also the mitzvah where a person bench if it's 5.5 hours later.
If you feel, what you should do is, do you feel hungry yet? Do you still feel, you know, somewhere, you still feel, you know, that you ate? That's how you really have to determine it. In other words, if you're still feeling a little bit the after effects of eating, then you can still bench. I just want to end with a word about Zrizus, because that's what we came to now on the Shir. The Gemara says, Koyanim Mevatlin Avodosan Avoin Shmoya Mikra Megillah. So Tosfos, in the beginning of Masechta Megillah, on top of the Gimel Amar Aleph, is Akasha. But even Mevatlin Avodosan, I mean, how big a question to have reading the Megillah? You know, they obviously got back in an hour and a half, whatever it is, they finished the Megillah, and they came back, and there was still enough time to read the Korban Tomer Shel Shachar. So what do you mean, Mevatlin Avodosan? Who's Mevatlin Avodo? They had this 5 hour Bakriya, they didn't finish until after Chatzis, what, you know? So Tosfos says, it means they didn't do it with Zrizus, because they didn't have Zrizus Magdiman, because first they took care of the Kriyas of Megillah, and then they took care of the Torah, Korban Tomer Shel Shachar. Very nice. Come together the Turei Evan, the Shagas Aryeh, and the Turei Evan says, I don't get this Tosfos. The Gemara said, Mevatlin Avodosan. So good, he didn't do it with Zrizus. Well, where's the Bittl? Say this can't Bittl. I don't see any Bittl, Tosfos says. So Tosfos says it must be. So he brings a Tosfos, Piskei Tosfos in Masechta Erechim, who learns that the Shaila of the Gemara called him Mevatlin Avodosan, who in the Shmoyim Mikra Megillah, means not the Korban Tomer Shel Shachar, but the Korban Tomer Shel Ben Arbayim. They're running late in the Beis HaMikdash, and now we're up against it. It's a half an hour to Shkia now. So either I'm getting in the Megillah or I'm getting in the Korban, but I'm not getting both in. So which do you do? So from that standpoint, it's telling me you should do it. Mevatlin Avodosan means the Kriyas HaMegillah. We talked about this recently because it's Pesumei Nisa L'Chaira. So that takes precedence to the Korban Tomer Shel Ben Arba. So the Shaila is of Sofkos of what's the Pshat and Tosis. Tosis also read the Gemara. So I said, I learned the Chiddush from here. And it's very interesting. I knew a Yid. Maybe some others here that know him. Real Ginsburg. He was a Telzer. He was for about 10 years or so the Menahel of Chofetz Chaim High School here in Queens. And then he went on to Sof Yomav, he was a Rosh in Toronto, and there he saw. So I shared this with him once, what I said. So I said, the pshat is, Zrizus is not just the cherry on top of the cake. That's, we think it's a Zahid or Mitzvah, no. One is obligated to do a Mitzvah b'Zrizus. If one didn't do it b'Zrizus, the Mitzvah, the Kiyam HaMitzvah is b'Di'evet. It's a b'di'evedik akim. There's all different levels of b'di'eved, but it's a b'di'evedik akim. So the fact that you didn't do it b'zrizus You chopped off part of the mitzvah. It's a part of the mitzvah that's not likuva. But you chopped it off. You're never going to do it. You will never do it. It's not just a tesef. It's a bittul in the mitzvah. And it has to be done b'zrizus. If you didn't do it b'zrizus, it's a bittul in the mitzvah itself. Rav Ginsburg, Zatzal, told me that I think that it tells the Rosh Yeshiva, I think Rav Eliyahu Yabloch proved the same Yisoid from a Medrash. It's not important for now, a Medrash, but because of the Yisoid, he also had. So that's Rav Eliyahu, what we talk about, that we have to do something with Zrizus. Zrizus is a much higher profile than we normally think. It's been a pleasure, Rav Eliyahu. I presume next Tuesday there's not going to be a shir, right? It's rocking horse next week. I'm going to be away Tuesday, and maybe Mr. Shemlin added a Tuesday after that. I'll be back.